Welcome to God First with Brian C. Thomas, a program committed to encouraging you to put God first while viewing life through the window of the Bible. Now, in honor of the one and only true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, let's join Brian C. Thomas for today's message.
Greetings in the name of our great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My name is Brian Thomas, and I want to wish all of you a very, very happy new year. As 2021 is behind us, and now we're looking at 2022. And I am still in the Christmas season mode. I am still celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I don't just do so in December, but I celebrate him throughout the year because our great Lord came to this earth. He became one of us so that he could die for our sins so that we can have the opportunity for eternal life. And I am just forever grateful to our great Lord. And so throughout the year, he is worthy of the glory, the honor, and the praise. But as we come to the new year, this is a time in which so many people look at it as a fresh start. And it would be nice if we could just press a reset button and really get a clean slate to start things all over again. That's really not how life works because, well, the reality of the matter is the problems that we had on December the 31st, more times than not, are still present on January the 1st. But from a psychological standpoint, a lot of people will look at the new year as sort of a mile marker, as a time to say they're going to become more disciplined. You're going to lose weight. You're going to read your Bible more. You're going to have a closer relationship with the Lord and do things better with your family. And so, you know, I'm not one that puts a lot of weight into the new year in terms of it being a holiday, to be honest with you. I don't think that it's wrong to celebrate it. I have no problem with that at all. You could make the case that, well, in God's calendar, what we say is the new year means nothing. But putting that aside, people look at the new year, again, as a time for a fresh start, for a new beginning in so many ways. And I think from a mental, psychological standpoint, that is a good thing. And so, again, I have no problem with celebrating the new year. And I think back to 2020 was such a challenging year. That is when COVID-19 really came on the scene as far as worldwide goes. And so many things were happening with unrest in our nation. And I heard people once we got to about September and October, people were saying things like, if we can just get to the end of this year and get to the next year. And I was thinking to myself, well, you know, again, I don't mean to be a pessimist, but chances are those same problems are going to be there when the next year comes. And so as we went from 2020 to 2021, not only were those same problems there, but you could make the case that things got even worse. And so we're looking at 2022, and a lot of people are hopeful of things becoming better. And again, I'm not being a pessimist because we are to pray to our Lord to seek things to get better for the healing of our land and even things in our personal lives. But what I want to talk to you today about is, what if things don't get better? What if things continue to just go downhill from our personal lives and even on the world scene? How are we to handle what is taking place? And so I want to talk to you about enduring today. I want to draw your attention to the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 4. In the Beatitudes, it says, "Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We honor you today, Lord. May this time be for your glory, for your honor. And we pray, Lord, that all things that are spoken, that it be nothing but sound doctrine. And may you be honored and glorified in all things. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. This time of year, when we come to Thanksgiving, to Christmas, to the new year, it is really a tough time for so many people because a lot of people are mourning the death of a loved one. A lot of people are mourning the loss of a relationship. There is the severing of a relationship, even if it's not by death, just from the standpoint of having some kind of a fallout. But a lot of people are mourning the death of a loved one. And I have personal friends of mine, friends and family, who had loved ones who passed away within 5 days before Christmas, just this past Christmas that we just observed. And I have so many family and friends who have lost loved ones over the years right around this time. And so when you come to the Christmas season, it becomes a time of depression because they have the memories of that loved one celebrating with them and they're gone. And so they cherish those memories. So it becomes a tough time for a lot of people, and they just sort of want to get through the Thanksgiving, Christmas and New Year period and just get to the next year so that they can get those things off their mind as far as that loved one that is no longer there. But, you know, I want to put some perspective on things. When we're mourning, when we're suffering, it could very well be that God is preparing you for something that is to come. There is an account of a young boy. This is a true story. And for the sake of privacy, I'm not going to use his real name. I'm just going to call him Johnny. But there's an account of this young boy by the name of Johnny, who came to know the Lord at a very young age. He began reading his Bible at 5 years old on a nightly basis. And shortly after, within probably a year or two of him really coming to the Lord, reading his Bible, praying on a regular daily basis, Johnny suffered one of the most devastating time periods of his life. He was sexually molested by a male family member, an adult male family member. And it was talked to him about this years later. And as he reflected back on it, he thought back to that time period and he remembered the not just the physical suffering, but the psychological and emotional suffering that he was going through. He remembered how during that time period, he had so many questions, so many things that he couldn't understand. And like so many cases in which this takes place, the man who was doing the molestation of this young child, he threatened him not to tell anyone. And so that's what he did. And so Johnny was too ashamed to tell anyone. He was too afraid. And so he kept it to himself. But during this time period, he would seek the Lord and he would go to bed at night and he would pray. He would get down on his knees and pray. And he said that he would not end the prayer, though, beside the bed on his knees. Instead, he would get in bed and continue to pray. He said because that brought him comfort. Talking to Jesus Christ as he was going through that brought him comfort. It brought him peace. And he said he can remember night after night crying himself to sleep and not even remembering ending the prayer. Jesus comforted him through that. And he would go off to sleep in tears and crying while speaking out to our great Lord. And so he was crying not only because of the fact of what he was facing with the abuse, but this was during the time period when AIDS came on the scene. And so in his mind, he thought that, well, if a man is with another man in a sexual way, that automatically meant you would contract AIDS and die. And so here this young boy is around the age of 7, 8 years old, and he's going through this and he's going to bed every night crying himself to sleep because he's thinking that he's going to die. He's thinking that he has contracted AIDS and it's just a matter of time before he's dead. And so he was very withdrawn. He would go to school and he really kept to himself because of the things that he was going through. And he faced people making a spectacle of him. Even school teachers loved to point out how he was so withdrawn, how he was so quiet. He didn't act like the other children. And oftentimes they would laugh about it. And that just caused him to go even deeper into the state of depression. And so, again, he would just continue to live his life and to seek the Lord and to pray and to cry. And so over time, as he grew, he realized that he did not have AIDS. As he learned more, as he began to mature, he realized that health wise that maybe he was OK. But this had a very devastating effect on him psychologically, the way he viewed himself, because his self-esteem was so low. Because he always looked at himself as being less than. He thought of himself as not a real man because of having been violated this way by another man, having been sodomized by another man. He viewed himself as less than. And so as he grew and he began to date, this had an effect on his relationships with women because he was so insecure. He, even though the girls would compliment him and say that he was cute or he was handsome, within himself, he could only think of, I'm less than, I'm not a real man. And so his romantic relationship struggled. But to make a long story short, as he continued to grow, the Lord began to call on him. And when I say call on him, I mean to preach the gospel. And he began to speak the Lord's word. And one of the things that he would speak about a lot is turning away from sin. He would speak about God's distaste for sin. He would speak about his own disgust from sin because of what he had been through, because it was sin that caused him so much suffering in his life. It was sin that caused him to have such little self-esteem. And he would even speak a lot about sexual sins because that is what caused him so much trauma in his life. And there were people that couldn't understand. But when asked in an interview as to what made him so passionate about speaking the truth of God's word, he would reflect back onto what he went through as a child, because that caused him to be adamant about speaking against things that are against God's words, things that would cause people to suffer, and in particular, again, sexual sin. And so when he looked at it, he said, God did not cause that man in my life to sexually molest me. But what God did was he turned the evil for good, because he said, I might still be in ministry even today. But he said, my passion for speaking the truth would not be as strong had it not been for what I went through. And so what Satan meant for evil, God used it for good. And so there were people who asked him the question, though. They said, well, where was God? Why did God allow you to go through that? Why didn't God stop that? And he would tell them, he said, well, look, there are some things that I don't have all the answers for. But he said, God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His wisdom transcends what we as human beings can perceive. And so he said, I don't question God. I don't make this say to myself, God, why did you do that to me? But I look at it and say, God brought me through that. And so now God is using it for the good. And so this young man would tell people that, listen, you may be suffering through life, but your suffering may very well be what God is using to prepare you for something that is to come. Again, not that God is going to cause evil to come upon you, but when the devil brings evil, God can turn it for the good. And so it is so important that when we are facing suffering in our lives, that we understand how to endure and how to allow God to use it for his greater purpose and for his greater will. So as we go into this next year, that is something that we need to keep in mind to keep the right perspective. So we're going to take a short break, but on the other side, we're going to come back to talk more about enduring through suffering. Don't go away. You are tuned into the God First program.
You are listening to Brian C. Thomas on God First. For more of Brian's teachings, please visit godfirst.org to browse our extensive library of material. There you will find devotionals, blogs, articles, and audio messages available as MP3 downloads on various topics such as salvation, Bible prophecy, marriage, and the significance of blessing Israel, just to name a few. You can also sign up for our monthly newsletter and visit our web store. So please visit us at godfirst.org. Now, let's return to the conclusion of today's message.
So Johnny is continuing to share the gospel, the great news of Jesus Christ, and preaching the word to repent and to turn away from sin. And he's looking forward to that great reward that is coming in heaven. If you look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12, we find there, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You may be one out there who is being persecuted. You are suffering because of rejection. There are those, even loved ones who are close to you, that are rejecting you because of your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you today to embrace the suffering, because we were created to live eternally. And as the verses that I just read share with us, it says, great is your reward in heaven. There are people who are coming to the end of their lives, and there are things that they have been seeking that have not came to pass. And they're having questions now. They're questioning God. They're saying, well, God, I sought you. Why didn't these things change in my life? But we have to remember that, again, we were created to live forever, and we will live forever. You will live either in the presence of our Almighty Lord, where we have eternal life, or you will live in the presence of eternal damnation, separated from God. And so if you're one of those who your life is coming to a close and it looks like things just haven't gotten better, remember, this is not the end of the story. Count it a privilege to suffer for the sake of being a follower of Jesus Christ, because we found the apostles and they celebrated and rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for the sake of Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, chapter 5, verses 40 through 41. And when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. How many of us rejoice to suffer? This is a message that you don't hear in churches today. You don't hear this message in churches about being a willing subject for suffering for the sake of Jesus Christ. What we always hear is overcoming, and we always hear about the blessings that are going to come and all this and that, all the great things that God is going to do for you. But listen, folks, we have to remember, we are created to serve and to worship our Lord. So many people today have made themselves God and made God to be someone who simply is like a genie in a bottle to give them whatever they want and whatever they ask for to make them happy. But we were created to serve him. We were created to worship him. Now, he will bless us in the process. But what I want to get you to understand is that there are going to be times of suffering. There are even churches in China that actually pray that persecution would come to them. How many churches do we have here in our nation that you hear a prayer on Sunday? The people gather around the altar and say, Lord, send persecution. But that is what is happening even in China today. And we see the apostles, they rejoiced over the fact that they were counted worthy to suffer for Jesus Christ. And when you look at the apostles in the scriptures, after they came to know and follow Jesus as Lord and Savior, their lives were full of trouble. Their lives were full of strife in terms of persecution. Their lives were not about health and wealth. You know, this health and wealth prosperity that we hear preached throughout the land today, especially here in our nation, that was not the case with the early apostles. Those men suffered tremendously. You don't see anything about them attaining all of this material wealth. But what you heard about was, when you read the scriptures, they went about teaching and preaching to repent, for the time is at hand. And they were beaten for it. They were persecuted for it. They were killed for it as a result. But that is not what we preach in our churches today. We preach the flip side. We preach only about the good things that God is going to do for us. And it's causing so many people to struggle in the faith. You know, I heard a woman, again, a true story. I was listening to another radio show, and a lady there was speaking about her husband, who was in his early 30s. I think she said he was either 31 or 33 years old. He was running a marathon, a police officer, and he collapsed during the marathon, and he eventually died. And as she was speaking, given this testimony, and she was saying how people often will pray for God to heal someone when they are gravely ill, or something happens and it looks like they're going to pass away and step into eternity. She said people will pray to God. And she said when times come in which God does bring healing and their life is saved, their physical earthly life is saved, she said people will say that God was faithful. And so the flip side of that, though, she said, what about when people are not healed? What about when you pray for healing? and you die, or that loved one, and they die. So does that mean God is not faithful in those circumstances? Certainly not. We are made to live eternally. And let me tell you something. For anyone who has left this earth and gone to heaven, they are experiencing things that I guarantee you they would not be willing if they had the choice to trade and leave heaven and come to this fallen earth, because they are in the presence of our Lord. And that is the goal for all of us, to be in the presence of Jesus Christ for all of eternity. So it really resonated with me when she said, if God is faithful when someone is healed, well, does that mean he is not faithful when someone dies? That's something we should really think about, what we're saying. God is always faithful. And so when a person dies, the Bible says that it is appointed to man to die once. So we have to leave this earth either through natural death or by way of the rapture. And so when we do, though, we go into the presence of Jesus Christ, and that should be the goal for us all. But when people see someone that is not healed, and when people make comments to say, well, God is faithful when he does heal, but then if he doesn't heal, does that mean he's not faithful? This can shake a person's faith. And that is why it's so dangerous. That is why when new believers come into the kingdom, when converts are made, we should make sure they are prepared for the suffering that is to come, because Satan is going to bring attacks. And oftentimes they're going to suffer even more after becoming a Christian than beforehand, because the Bible tells us that that is what's going to take place. So this health and wealth gospel that we see today, it's a false doctrine. Galatians 5:12 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. We oftentimes will skip over that long suffering. We don't want to look at suffering, but that is the characteristic of our Lord. And the Bible says, when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, it says long suffering, and we should embrace it when we're going through things. I am greatly blessed, and I give God honor. I give him praise. I thank him for that. I know that things could change very quickly. I know that suffering could come at any day. And so we are to always be willing to be long suffering. So I just want to share with you that if you're looking at this new year and there are things that you have been wanting to turn around, if you don't see that turnaround come immediately, if you don't see that immediate joy, remember that eternity is still to come. Embrace the suffering and rejoice in the Lord. That is why the Bible says he will bring a peace that surpasses all understanding. That is why you can be in the midst of mourning for a loved one that has gone on, but still find peace and joy, because that is Jesus Christ who is with you. Remember the Apostle Paul. He pleaded with the Lord 3 times to remove the thorn in the flesh. And what did God say? God said, my grace is sufficient. We don't know what that thorn in the flesh was. A lot of people have speculated over the years as to what Paul was suffering from. But whatever it was, he prayed to God. It says he pleaded with God, please remove this. And God said no. So what about you if God says no? I'm not saying stop praying. Just like the Apostle Paul, he prayed 3 times. So pray, seek the Lord until he answers. But if his answer is no, I am not going to take this away from you, can you still praise him? Can you still rejoice in him? Can you still give him honor and give him the glory that he so rightfully deserves? Because he said his grace is sufficient. And just like that account I told you of Johnny, he could be preparing you for something that is great to come. He could be setting you up for being a witness, and he's wanting to see how faithful you're going to be. He's building you up to run the race. He's building your endurance. And so again, just like in the account of Johnny, God did not cause that man to molest him. And if you're being mistreated right now in life, don't say that it's God doing it to you, but it could be that God is allowing it to happen so that again, what the devil meant for evil, God is going to use it for the good. And so I just want to encourage someone, because when we look around right now, folks, in this time of COVID and we see deaths, and my heart goes out to so many people who have lost loved ones, especially around Christmas season. the past 3 or 4 years have been nothing like I've ever seen before. As far as hearing about people that I know personally, who have loved ones, they're losing mother, father, son, daughter, siblings. And it's a very trying time for them. But I want to encourage you that as you continue to mourn, to endure the suffering and look at it to say, okay, God, is this something that you can be using to build me up, to prepare me for something for your kingdom, for your gospel, to share the gospel of you, our great Lord, to the world? And I just want to encourage you that as you go into this new year, there still may be times of trouble. There may be still times of tribulation, but God is still on the throne. And God is not unsettled by any of this. He's not fretting. He's not worried. When we look at what is taking place in the world, the spirit of lawlessness, the spirit of division that has descended upon the earth, that is causing so much strife. And then the Bible says the spirit of Antichrist. Even in the days of the Bible, it says it is already at work. And we see that spirit increasing as we continue to get to the time of our Lord. So folks, again, I'm not here to be a pessimist. I'm not here to bring you down. I'm here to build you up and to get you to understand long-term eternity. And when we look back on this life, a trillion years from now, when we're in the presence of our Lord, it will seem as if it was the blink of an eye, the suffering that we've experienced, because God is preparing us for great things that are yet still to come. So I hope that can encourage you. Folks, don't quit. Don't give up. As you continue to walk this race, as you continue to run this race, continue to endure and look to our great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to carry you through. Well, we are all out of time. I want to thank you for tuning in. Please come back and join us next week as we continue to encourage you to put God first while viewing life through the window of the Bible. Until then, remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Bless God's great nation of Israel. And to the only wise God be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen.
You've been listening to the Bible teacher, Brian C. Thomas, founder and president of God First. Brian and God First reserve all copyright protection under applicable law. Our copyright policy is available at our website, godfirst.org. Until next time, remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, bless God's great nation of Israel, and seek first the kingdom of God.